Glad to have you along. Our entire team here at the Civic Media World Headquarters, all the folks behind the scenes getting it done, we appreciate all of them so we can bring you the information of the evening. Now just 9 o'clock, Pat Kreitlow. And if we look at the national scene right now, Donald Trump leads in the Electoral College at last check, 178-99. Polls in Wisconsin are closed. We haven't really heard. I don't think of anybody still standing in line that we know of. No. That doesn't mean that it doesn't happen. If you happen to be in line and know somebody, stay there. You still have the right to vote. But now, as they used to say, Pat, it's all over but the shouting.
Yeah, I mean, they're moving. We're moving the scene from the voting booths, mm-hmm. you know, past the counting facilities, into the parties. You know, everybody's called the victory party. Most people are heading toward the parties. Some are not. Based on reporting here, Journal Sentinel reporter Mary Spacuzza was blocked from attending the election night party for Republican Senate candidate Eric Hovde. "I've always covered election night parties," she told Hovde Flack. "I've never gotten kicked out of one in 15 years of covering this stuff. Oh, but wait, there's more." Wisconsin Public Radio reporter Hope Kerwin was told she could not cover Republican Congressman Derek Van Orden's election night party. So wow. We have some more, shall we say, Trumpian behavior from both Eric Hovde and Derek Van Orden in keeping out select members of the media.
And Pat, you and I have known those two individuals a long time. They are respected journalists. They do not come with any sort of a bias. They're great individuals, great journalists, and to not allow them into a victory party, I don't know the last time if ever I heard of that.
I never had, but I also grew up in a time when you also didn't skip things like public forums and debates, and now we have Republicans skipping that all the time as well. Oh. It's when you have your own media ecosystem, you can live in your bubble.
Oh, Pat, we're so silly talking about democracy. No, not really. glad to have you along with us here. We're going to keep following this great reporting, Pat. Appreciate that. We'll continue to follow all these races all evening long. Can tell you that right now, a 31% of the votes in, or I should say counted thus far in the state of Wisconsin. Let's go back here. It is Donald Trump with 49.9% of the vote and Democrat Kamala Harris with 48.6%. percent of the vote. We heard from Trygve Olson, the senior advisor at the Lincoln Project, at the end of last hour, Pat. Good thing I brought a fresh pot of Wonder State coffee.
whereas I'm keeping hydrated and brought along my Roy Kent mug from Ted Lasso. Oy. Because I can't use Roy Kent's lingo here, but I can at least have him represented on the coffee mug. We're not just following things in Wisconsin. We're following things around the country, and that includes many of the states, the swing states, where Courier Newsroom, parent company of Up North News, has outlets, including in Michigan. That would be the Gander. And from the Gander, joining us now is Sean Kitchen, one of our colleagues. I'm sorry, this is not the Gander. This is Pennsylvania, the Keystone in Pennsylvania. I got my time zones mixed up in my maps over here. Sean Kitchen is joining us from Pennsylvania now. Sean, where in the Keystone State are you?
I am out in the Harrisburg area. I'm actually at an election party right now for Janelle Stelson. She is the Democrat that is running against Scott Perry in Pennsylvania's 10th congressional district.
Okay. So one of many that are being followed because, again, Republicans only had the slimmest majority in the House of Representatives and proved to be absolutely dysfunctional with it. So you're following that race. What are some of the other races that are important around Pennsylvania that could help us determine whether Democrats or Republicans are going to be ruling the roost in D.C.?
First of all, we have the Senate race here in Pennsylvania, which I know with Hovde, you've had a lot of interesting stories happening out there. Here in Pennsylvania, we have Dave McCormick, who is a hedge fund manager from Connecticut that is trying to run for Senate against Bob Casey. That's going to be an important seat. Casey has been a United States Senator for since 2006 and comes from a very popular political family here in Pennsylvania. And then we have this race right here with Janelle Stelson, mm-hmm. And then some important down ballot races for Attorney General, Auditor General, and our Treasurer.
But I suppose the big one would be the 19 electoral votes, which is why we think we're popular here in Wisconsin. But it really was the Harris-Walz ticket and the Trump-Vance ticket that truly made the Keystone State their home over this final week of the campaign, it seems.
Oh, yeah. No, it definitely. It's been a long week. So, like, last night I was down in Philadelphia for Harris's closing rally, which had, like, 30,000 people there. I did not get home until 2:30 in the morning and then was up and out doing Election Day work at 7 a.m. this morning. So it's been a long couple of days here in Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it just highlights how much attention the two campaigns have put on the state within the past, within the closing weeks.
I recall 4 years ago that Pennsylvania was what helped put Joe Biden over the top, and it was on a Saturday morning, I believe it was. We had just crossed the state line into Pennsylvania. We were on a trip to my daughter's at that point, and Pennsylvania was just the center of attention. Days after the election, is there concern that it's going to take that long again?
I don't think so. The counties have gotten a lot faster at counting their ballots over the past couple of years, especially since 2020 when we had the pandemic. And also the counties have invested, and that was our first time we ever voted by mail, and the counties have updated their machinery. So we might get a result as early as tomorrow, if everything goes according to plan.
Very good. Sean Kitchen from the Keystone out in Pennsylvania for Courier Newsroom. Sean, thank you very much for taking some time with us. We really appreciate it.
Thank you and have a good night.
Yep, you as well.
Pat Kreitlow, some breaking news from CBS News at this hour that many people may find interesting, if not disturbing in some cases. The state of Florida, according to CBS News, has rejected adding a state constitutional amendment guaranteeing access to abortion, falling just short of the 60% vote it needed to pass. CBS News projecting that the vote will be, just went off the screen there. But again, Florida rejecting adding that state constitutional amendment, which is something a lot of people were watching.
But again, much like, in the Senate needing 60 votes to break a filibuster, you have, again, majority support for something. You have majority support for abortion rights in Florida. But because of where they've set the benchmark, this might be the first instance where a state measure to enshrine or protect abortion rights was defeated.
Absolutely. We checked in earlier with the race of our Pat was talking about this race of Derek Van Orten in the 3rd Congressional District. Another big key race tonight out in western Wisconsin. It goes from the Mississippi River, Illinois state line in south central Wisconsin all the way up to the River Falls area where Trigvi Olsen is from, that entire length of western Wisconsin, and then tails off into picking up Stevens Point in central Wisconsin. And our very own James Kelly, a news reporter from the Great Chippewa Valley area, Pat Kreitlow's home area, is at the Rebecca Cook Victory Party. James, thank you for joining us. What's the room feel like? What have you got for us tonight?
Well, right now there's a lot of waiting around. I know people out here can realize that this is going to be a tight race all the way down to the wire. Even just standing here, listening to you guys do a fantastic open to this hour, by the way. The lead has changed hands a couple of times.
Mm-hmm. Really? Back and forth. Have you got latest? I don't have it in front of my screen right now. Do you have the latest numbers in the third, James?
Yeah, right now we're a little over 30% voting total in. Eau Claire and La Crosse are both around 70% each. Those are both going to Cook right now. In total, there's been about 130,000 votes. It's an even split, less than a percentage point separating the two candidates right now.
Yeah, and let's keep in mind that it was in the 3rd Congressional District, 2 years ago when Derek Van Orten was elected, and it looked like he was going to win by a wider margin than he actually did. It turned out to be a rather narrow margin, which is why Democrats have invested so heavily in this race for Becca Cook. But again, I think it's going to be down to the wire to see the results.
There seems to be a trend here, James. Things are going to be really, really tight. Surprise, surprise in Wisconsin.
Yeah, real shocker. It's only a swing state after all.
Yeah. Give us another 30 to 60 seconds, James, on these issues up there. You follow this a lot in the Chippewa Valley area. Healthcare up there has been a big driver, at least in the Eau Claire area.
Yeah, the HSHS closures earlier this year certainly threw a wrench into the healthcare scene in the Chippewa Valley as a whole, because we also lost a number of clinics in addition to the two hospitals. As far as the congressional race, that's really more of an issue on the state level. State assembly candidates have really been campaigning on that hard out here, trying to flip the assembly blue so that they can kind of get an even number on the Joint Finance Committee and try to push that funding through. On a state level, though, or on a federal level, Rebecca Cook has pushed for health care reform here as well.
Yeah, and I know Maggie Dawn's going to be making her way back to the desk here in just a moment. But Pat and James, talk, because you both live in this area, the Chippewa Valley area. Give listeners across the state a sense of this. Derek Van Orten is a guy who, again, has this legacy of going after teenagers. The latest one, of course, was in the Senate pages in the United States Capitol. Rebecca Cook, a waitress.
Oh, there was even more recently than that, when Darren Von Ruden from the Farmers Union was in his office, and he blew up at him. And then he had a recent appearance on Channel 5 in the Twin Cities, where he looked disoriented, I guess it would be a kind way of putting it. He has been
a blunt way to look drunk, but anyway.
he has been central to this issue, because while he has this kindly, grandfatherly Navy SEAL persona that he's trying to convey, there are also dozens, if not hundreds, of social media posts where he's constantly insulting, belittling, or picking fights with people. And it's certainly got in the way of him getting anything done, as we have a farm bill still now over a year overdue.
James, you're on the ground there as well. Just talk to people, the grocery stores, whatnot. Well, what do you think is the driver to who to vote for this third congressional race?
Oh, well, I think it's really up in the air. A lot of the problems here are economic, and they're really not pushing too many different economic plans. Rebecca Cook has a big focus on the middle class here, and Derek Van Orden also claims to have that same focus on the middle class. I think the big difference is really going to be just the engagement in the campaign. Rebecca Cook has run a really strong ground game, connecting with voters at their doorstep, and Derek Van Orden simply hasn't done that.
Thank you very much, James Kelly, our great reporter up at WCFW, our great station up there in Chippewa Valley area. Thank you, my friend. You do a great job. We'll check in with you a little bit later on tonight.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Always a pleasure. James Kelly there in WCFW up in Chippewa Falls. Pat, again, this trend, I think there are people out there, myself included, that thought that the margins might have been wider going into tonight because of women's reproductive issues on there. We've seen record high voter turnouts. But as Trigvy's talked about, Trump seems to be doing better in some of the smaller towns. Harris might be doing better in some of the more urban areas, and it's balancing out.
Well, for now, until the numbers are final, we don't know that for sure. But there is that factor that we haven't talked as much about. Yes, there are people motivated to vote, maybe for the first time, because they've finally seen and heard enough of Donald Trump. But there are also people who've never voted before because they never had somebody who had their view of the world until Donald Trump came along. And say what you will about that particular view of the world, but it definitely connects with some folks in a way that is somewhat disturbing, to see some of the personal displays in people's lawns that are bordering on a cult of personality. But he certainly has tapped into something. And so we're going to see these close races continue into the night until we maybe see some separation when voters in the larger cities have their votes counted.
Maggie Dawn, the Maggie Dawn Show, our great legal analyst, great host, is here with us at the desk now. Maggie, just hang on. I want to check in if we have Joanne Krulatz, our news director out at WRCO in Richland Center. If she is on the line, I know, Joanne, you're doing yeoman's work following a lot of races in southwest Wisconsin, but also check in with us. Very quickly, Joanne, what are you seeing in numbers and trends out in southwest Wisconsin in the Richland Center area?
Oh, I'm seeing that Joanne is not on the line here.
Oh, sorry.
Right now.
Well, thanks. See, the Pat's glasses are fantastic. Mine need to be replaced very quickly. But you know who is here is Maggie Dunn. Maggie, thanks for coming back at the desk. I can see that. I can see 3 feet
in
front of my eyes.
I'm here, Todd.
And with your fabulous glasses, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, they're great. Pick up a little bit on what Pat was saying there. Again, as we look at these numbers, as someone who's really talked about your show with the Patriot Millionaires, whether it's economic issues, whether it's women's reproductive issues, anything that you're seeing in the results tonight that jump out to you?
Yeah, I think some of these early returns in both Ozaukee and Waukesha County are absolutely fascinating. As we see some of these numbers come in, again, that 40% mark being the Holy Grail. Can Kamala Harris exceed Biden margins in either Ozaukee or Waukesha County? And the relationship to these kitchen table issues, as the punditry likes to call them, about how is your pocketbook doing? Mm-hmm. And not only that, not just what your feeling is about that, were candidates able to connect the feeling that people have about their pocketbooks and these kitchen table issues with actual policy ideas? And did all of that make sense at a very intuitive level? Listen, I'm a trial lawyer. What I know when I get before a jury is this: if the story doesn't make sense, they won't go with your argument. And here, I think in the absolute closing days, not only was there a clear and marked style difference, I also think there was a difference between, does this make sense at a very basic level? And so if you look up and down these congressional races in a state like Wisconsin, where we've got three new congressional districts at play, and you look at the presidential race, I think you're seeing some interesting movement towards Kamala Harris in some of these collar counties around Milwaukee County that are clear bellwethers that show that maybe the does it make sense at the end of the day was connecting with different kinds of voters. Again, the pundits, you know, we just guess. The rest of it is up to the voters here.
Let's go to the state director of All Voting is Local. That is Sam Liebert. Sam is on the phone. Thank you very much for joining us, Sam. Looking at the results tonight, picking up on what Maggie just said, anything from the results that you're seeing tonight stands out to you?
Yeah, I mean, the turnout appears to be extremely high. The voter enthusiasm is there. Throughout the day, we saw on campuses and cities and towns and villages alike, people, you know, lines forming. No one likes to stand in lines, but usually it's also a good indicator of, you know, what is expected to be a high turnout night and probably a long night waiting for those results to come in, especially in Milwaukee County tonight.
And Sam, tell folks that might not know a little bit about your organization, All Voting is Local. What do you folks do there, and what's your mission?
Yeah, certainly. So I'm the state director for All Voting is Local. Before I came here, I was actually a municipal clerk. I've run probably about a dozen elections before joining All Voting is Local. We're nonpartisan, nonprofit. We're in eight states across the country, and we work to break down barriers to the ballot box for traditionally, historically disenfranchised voters. So you're talking about Black and Brown voters, young voters, first-generation voters, Native voters. And sort of what's in our name, All Voting is Local, is we really look to work with local election officials. In Wisconsin, we have 1,850 municipalities, and so we have 1,850 municipal clerks who run elections. And so we work with them to lift them up, whether it's working with their boards to pass ordinances and resolutions to increase protections to them, or looking to help recruit poll workers or find new ways like electronic poll books, Badger books in Wisconsin, to streamline voter check-in and voter registration. And we've had a very busy season. Election, I feel like we're always in election season in Wisconsin. As soon as we're done with this election, we're already thinking about April of 2025.
Yes, this is true.
Yeah. Sam, very quickly, you brought up something. I don't want to, this is not Todd story time, but I left the Republican Party in 2011 because I was witness to voter suppression issues in Milwaukee on our college campus against Black and Brown folks in the state. Have you seen any of those voter suppression issues come to fruition today or during this election cycle that gave you any pause, or do you feel confident?
You know, we always see it, unfortunately, right? In voter intimidation or suppression tactics. Mm-hmm. I mean, ultimately, at the end of the day, you know, we had this issue in Milwaukee where they had to sort of hit the reset button at Central Count and begin counting all over again. And, you know, unfortunately, you know, It takes a long time to count 100,000+ absentee ballots. And this past legislative session, the Assembly passed it, but unfortunately died in the Senate. There was a bill called a Monday pre-processing bill, which would have allowed our election officials to begin this work yesterday. And so think we would have had all of this done already, and we would have, we'd only be counting the in-person votes really for today. And so that's really a form of voter suppression and intimidation. And, you know, right now I just left Central Cut, Milwaukee, where we saw Senator Johnson and Bob Spindell, the fake elector who's on our elections commission, spouting, you know, more lies and sowing distrust in the system. And that's not what we need right now. We need to be supporting those election workers to make sure that every vote is counted and done correctly.
Sam Liebert, State Director of All Voting is Local. We appreciate what you do, sir. Thank you for taking time for us. We'll check back in with you as the evening progresses. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks, guys.
Our pleasure. Pat Kreitlow here at the desk, where it is now just 20 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock. You're listening to Civic Media's Wisconsin Decides 2024. And Pat Kreitlow, nobody knows Wisconsin politics like our next guest.
Well, that would be Joseph Pecky, who we'll get to in just a moment.
Oh, pardon me.
Let me share, though, first from in terms of election results from J.R. Ross over at WisPolitics. Is looking at one of the many key races, and I know Dan Schaefer is going to talk more about this throughout the course of the evening. That would be the state Senate race in the 8th State Senate District, where Democrat Jody Habersh-Senekin is going up against incumbent Republican Dewey Strobel. He's the incumbent Republican, but the district's been drawn in such a way that it's not nearly as red as it used to be. And so far, with just about 60% of the vote in, Jody Habersh-Senekin has a very slim lead over Dewey Strobel, 51-49%. This race has already cost more than $10 million. And just to give you something to compare that to, when I won my state Senate race in 2006, it was one of the first to top $200,000. The .2, this race is at $10.2 million. Dollars for one state Senate seat.
$10.2 million, Pat Kreitlow, for a job that pays what? $60,000?
Not quite $60,000. Yeah. Yeah. but again, look at what the position gets to do. Yeah. I mean, if nothing else, between Scott Walker and Act 10 and other things that this legislature's done over the past decade or so, people understand the importance of these races, the power that it has, the way it can either help or cripple our schools, help or cripple things like, you know, passenger rail in Wisconsin. And so there are groups willing to put substantial sums of money into it to get their way.
Political analyst, political strategist Joe Zepecki always has a take. He always is spot on, and he joins us now, does he?
He still does not.
If Todd could read it, that would be.
You should come over here to the little desk chat.
I know.
Where we have
I go back and forth. See, Pat is better at his screens than I am.
Well, it's that old IFB thing, you know, that anchors used to wear. Now, did want to note that CBS is reporting a gender gap that is very similar to 2020. Men for Trump, women for Harris. The women are making up 53% of the vote compared to 47% for men. In 2020, the break was 52-48 women to men. Trump made an appeal to younger men, and men ages 18 to 29 are currently divided in their support. That's a group that Biden won by 11 points 4 years ago. Harris has a big lead among young women under 30, in line with what Biden's lead was in 2020.
Sounds good. I believe now we have via phone at WRCO in Richland Center in Southwest Wisconsin, News Director Joanne Krulas. Joanne, about a minute and a half here before we have to take a break, but give us an update. Anything you're seeing in Southwest Wisconsin that you think our statewide listeners might find interesting?
Well, both the Senate race, you know, Tammy Baldwin and Eric Hovde, I'm sure I haven't been able to keep up on everything, but it was last I saw was tied at 49%. The other one that first I looked and Van Orden was winning, but now last time I looked, Cook was leading. Another one that's close is Joan Balwig and Sarah Kieski are tied at 50%. So there's some close races.
That's very interesting. That Baldwin-Kieski race, that again could help shape the legislature moving forward, Joanne. Appreciate that update. We're going to check back in with you a little bit later. Great home station, Pat Kreitlow, WRCO Richland Center. I got to give a shout out to the hometown.
If you do say so yourself, exactly.
If I do say so myself. But again, that could be a very big race in the state Senate.
There's so much to decide, not necessarily Senate control, but again, getting those majority-minority margins together might make for a more productive session, a more productive budget that benefits more for education, business, and more.
You went to the polls, you cast your vote. You made your decision. Now Wisconsin decides. We'll come back at the Civic Media World Headquarters. Pat Kreitlow and a cast of characters. Don't miss it right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
CBS News Special Report, Campaign 24.
CBS News projects former President Donald Trump will add Texas, North and South Dakota, Louisiana and Wyoming to his wins. And Vice President Harris is projected to win New York, Delaware and Rhode Island for an electoral count so far of Trump 162 to Harris's 62. The magic number is 270. Our Allison Keyes reports on CBS News exit polling in North Carolina.
CBS News data shows that just 5% of voters made up their minds in the past week, and 58% of those went for Democrat Kamala Harris. Of those supporting Republican Donald Trump, more than half made their choice before September.
CBS's Major Garrett adds,
most important issues for Trump supporters: economy, 49%, immigration, 21%, preservation of democracy, 13%.
Americans have also voted in several crucial races in the House and Senate. CBS News Special Report, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
The Packers make a trade. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The NFL trade deadline was today, and the Packers send Preston Smith to the Pittsburgh Steelers for a 7th-round pick. The Steelers will also pick up the tab on Smith's salary. The veteran linebacker, who's had his role reduced this season in Green Bay, turns 32 later this month. College basketball, the Wisconsin men's basketball team opened up their season last night with an 85-61 win over Holy Cross in Madison. Head coach Greg Gard asked if he's determined who his starting five are going to be.
That was my main message to him tonight. As we go on this journey over the next five and a half months, we have to be together, because it's going to be different people on different nights. Who starts, in my mind, I've never talked about it or made a big deal of who is starting. Everybody knows they need to be ready.
NBA, the Bucks battled but let it slip away in the final minute, losing in Cleveland 116-114. The Bucks host the Utah Jazz on Thursday. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Showers wrap up this evening, cloudy overnight, and a low in the low 40s. And more clouds around for tomorrow, a high near 50. Sun's back for Thursday, high low 50s. Continued warming into Friday with sunshine, a high in the mid 50s, then rain returns later Saturday and Sunday. Right now it's 48.
To everyone who is a cheese lover like us, Culver's is the place for you.
I'm Culver's team member Sephora, and I get to celebrate my love of cheese with our guests every day. Whether it's our world-class cheddar, Swiss, or American melted on a butter burger, or the gooey golden goodness of our cheese curds, at Culver's, we treat you to the best real Wisconsin cheese. Order ahead on the app or culvers.com for a taste of what we do best.
From Wisconsin with love, welcome to Delicious.
Culver's on 8th Street South in Wisconsin Rapids.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
He is a comedian, a writer, and an actor, and teaches comedy. One of Wisconsin's own. Dobie Maxwell joins me here on Nightlight. Hey, Dobe.
Pete Schwabba, I am Chico. You're the man. Can you hear me? Is my Amish wood-burning computer plugged into the...
You got Amish. Oh, you got to update, buddy. I got gas powered and it's working like a charm. So it'll change your life.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Wisconsin Decides 2024. As the campaigning comes to an end and your ballot is cast, you'll find continuing coverage of this important election right here.
Special reports start at 6 November 5th, and when the polls close at 8, coverage of the presidential, Senate, and your important local races will come in from around the state.
It's your vote as Wisconsin Decides on November 5th, starting at 6 p.m. on 97.5 WFHR and the Civic Media app.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. We'll look back at the vote totals, give you updates, and have our news team from around the state join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. This is Civic Media's special coverage of Wisconsin Decides 2024. Once again, Todd Albaugh and Pat Kreitlow.
And welcome back to the world headquarters here, a block off the Capitol Square, downtown Madison, State Street. A little rain drizzle out there, and the coffee pot is on, Pat Kreitlow, as it's going to be a long one.
Are you seriously caffeinating up right now?
Oh, I have a whole 9:30? Pot upstairs, yeah. Wow. Absolutely.
Okay.
It's going to be a long one. We're going to have some fun.
All right. Good.
Great to have everybody along with us. Check the national tallies quickly thus far. Donald Trump at 198 electoral votes thus far projected. And Vice President Kamala Harris at 112. Colorado, the state of Colorado, been called projected for Vice President Harris, along with Illinois, the state of New York, and others. Again, Pat Kreitlow, thus far, not a lot of huge surprises in the official projections.
No. Tim Kaine just projected to retake his Senate seat in Virginia. Recall he was on Saturday Night Live this weekend. Mm-hmm. Nobody remembers him anymore as Hillary Clinton's running mate. Josh Hawley wins re-election in Arkansas. These are the kinds of things that we talk about on Up North News Radio on Thursday mornings with our good friend and Democratic strategist, Joe Zepecki, who's with us now. Joe, good evening. How are you?
I'm all right. How are you guys? You look great, I got to say. I love that set.
So do you. This is a lot better than, 6:30 in the morning. This is definitely Pat and Joe after dark, and I appreciate that very much. What are you making? You can start from a state or a national level. What are your first impressions?
My first impression is that the polling turns out to have been right, more right than I thought. This is a deeply, deeply divided country, and there is just no outcome that we're going to get that is going to really change the division that we see in our politics. I believe that Kamala Harris means it when she said she will be a president for all Americans, and I'm not sure that the scenario where that happens tonight or in the days ahead is enough to sort of break the fever within the Republican Party that has been increasingly taken over by the MAGA ultra-right. And that is, that's a sad reality, but we have to face it. And we have to try to figure out a way to come together as a country. Now, in terms of the raw politics of this, North Carolina is off the board. Georgia is probably the next one to get called if there can be a call. That is heading for a photo finish. But the other five battleground states are still looking good. Lots left to go, hours and hours, if not days left to go in some of them. But we're seeing sort of two competing stories. One is that in the reddest rural communities in this country, Donald Trump and the right are gaining a little bit of ground. In larger suburbs, Kamala Harris is improving and building on what Joe Biden did 4 years ago. And so those cross pressures are ultimately going to come down to math. We know that there are more small towns and rural communities than there are suburbs, but the suburbs are bigger. And so how that math shakes out is ultimately going to determine not just Wisconsin, but some of these other states that have yet to be called. And what I want to counsel everybody is patience.
Right.
We are not watching the back and forth of a basketball game where we don't know, if somebody's going to make a late run. This game has largely already been played, save for those courageous heroes on college campuses in Wisconsin still standing in line to vote at this hour. Mm-hmm. But the points have all been scored for the most part. We just don't know who's going to end up with the most of them. And that's how I'm thinking about tonight.
Joe, this is Todd. Let's go back to what you said earlier a little bit in terms of the suburban areas, particularly here in Wisconsin. I think, Donald Trump nationally won in 2016 by picking up some of those suburban areas, then lost to Joe Biden in 2020 by Biden picking up some of those suburban areas. How much are the suburbs in Wisconsin and nationally going to play in who ultimately wins this decision?
I mean, it probably will be determinative. And so, for example, here in Wisconsin, we're seeing there's sort of a magic number. No Democrat for my lifetime has ever gotten 40% in Waukesha, which is the third largest county in the state. You know, Democrats long said, hey, even though we're losing that, you know, 70-30 or 75-25, we were still getting the third largest number of raw votes out of that county. It looks like with what's been back and reported so far, both Kamala Harris and Tammy Baldwin could hit that magic 40% threshold. That's even more impressive than Joe Biden did 4 years ago. The question again becomes, that's great, but is there enough in the rural communities for Trump that is going to offset those additional gains? And we're just not going to know for a couple hours.
No, and that's where we've got to be patient about this. And I have a feeling we're going to be talking about this a little bit more in the coming days here with our friend Joe Zepecki.
Absolutely. Thank you, Joe. Really appreciate your time. We'll check back in with you a little bit later.
Sounds good. Thanks, guys.
All right. Thank you. Joe Zepecki, everybody.
Now, another one of our regular check-ins on Up North News Radio is my colleague, Christina Laurie, who is our community editor, puts together our daily newsletter that you can subscribe to over at upnorthnewswi.com. Click subscribe up in the top banner. Christina is based here in Madison and has been following the voter turnout around the UW-Madison campus, along with so many other stories that she's been covering for us. Christina, good evening. How are you?
I'm good. How are you, Pat?
Very good. Let's talk for a bit about the Big Ten challenge. Let's just on a lighter note here, because turnout has been so strong and sometimes in a competitive way. Can you tell us more about that?
Yes. So we're actually, you know, better sports haven't given us a whole lot to cheer about lately.
No.
This is something we can all get behind, that Wisconsin has a really good winning record at. We don't obviously have any numbers this year, but every major election cycle, all Big Ten universities participate in what's called the Big Ten Challenge, where they basically battle it out to see which campus can have the highest voter turnout. And the last two elections, Wisconsin has won. So, of course, this time we have four additional schools with the expansion of the Big Ten. So it'll be interesting to see if Wisconsin can still hold on. But considering none of those schools are in battleground states, I'd say we have pretty good odds. And judging by the long lines along campus polling places that I was walking past today and just the energy that's been palpable on campus for the past pretty much 2 or 3 months, really ever since Kamala Harris announced her campaign, there has been this really giant effort on campus and energy and excitement from first-time voters, or, you know, maybe this is their second election, but that first one was during COVID, so it didn't feel super real to those students. It'll be really interesting to see what those final numbers come out to be.
How about from an issue standpoint? They were excited about Kamala Harris being on the ticket. This is also a generation that saw how the pandemic was handled. This is a generation that has seen an endless parade, unfortunately, of school shootings, and they've seen the lack of action on that. Were there other issues that they brought up? Was it about democracy? What are they getting? Why are they as enthused as they are to finally have their voices be heard?
This generation, a lot of them that I talk to, they're really just upset that they have less rights than their parents and grandparents. And it's not just women who are feeling that way. A lot of the young men that I talked to on campus were equally fired up about reproductive freedom and getting that back. And it's just, you know, people don't like having anything taken away from them. And that has been a large part of this here. That was probably the number one issue that I've heard brought up. But equally of concern are the attack on LGBTQ rights. They're fearing that that could be next now that Roe fell. And also concerns about the environment, which is always a big topic of discussion here in Madison, of course, you know, with the campus anchored between two lakes. And a lot of environmental projects going on. So I would say those are the top three issues among most college voters here in Wisconsin.
Yeah, true to form. And it also motivates some folks on the other side of those issues, unfortunately. But again, a very strong student turnout, I'm sure not just in Madison and the other Big Ten schools, but the other campuses around Wisconsin as well. Christina Laurie's the community editor at Up North News. Christina, thanks so much for checking in. Have a great evening.
You too.
Thank you, Christina. Always a pleasure. And Pat, I know you have to step away pretty soon here to do a couple of responsibilities for your other organization. So we're going to let you do that.
Yep.
And we'll check back in with
you in a minute. Yeah. You got to fill the Roy Kent mug. Needs a fresh fill over here.
Very good. Appreciate that, Pat Kreitlove, Up North News Radio. Always a pleasure. We do have a projection, a Civic Media News projection, and let's go to that now. And we can tell you that ABC News has projected the state of Iowa will go for Donald J. Trump, the former president, Republican. Again, Iowa is being put into the Trump column, according to ABC News. And again, I don't think it's a huge surprise. That's what Donald Trump carried that state last time fairly handily. What may be of interest to people is that the Seltzer poll came out, the Des Moines Register poll over the weekend, which showed that Kamala Harris had a 3% lead in Iowa. Now, I think if you talk to people like Trevi Olson, the Lincoln Project and others, I'm not sure that anybody really expected Kamala Harris to carry Iowa in the polls, but it was thought to be perhaps an indicator of miss people, an electorate, particularly women, who might have gone underreported in some of these other polls. But no, despite all of that, ABC is projecting Iowa. It will be in Donald J. Trump's column this evening. Let's go down to one of our great other reporters, and we're just there, Trigby and I, on our statewide tour this week up to beautiful Green Bay, Wisconsin, home of the Packers, and our great station up there, WGBW, and Lisa Hale, our news director up there at WGBW. Lisa, thanks for joining us this evening. What do you have for us from the Fox Valley?
Well, I'm telling you, we are at the Tony Weed watch party here in Ashwaubenon at the Legacy Hotel, and there are at least 100 people smashed into this small area to celebrate this election night. They're all very positive, so it's interesting to see how this is going to turn tonight.
It really is, and I know this is a race that many people have been watching closely, including us. Of course, the incumbent up there deciding not to seek re-election, the Republican incumbent, and so it's an open seat. And so you have Tony Weed, the Trump endorsed candidate. Tell us a little bit. I mean, Weed literally put Trump's name ahead of his own on his signs. And of course, on the Democratic side, you have the OBGYN Dr. Kristen Lierley in that race.
Exactly. And what we did his whole campaign was, I'm the Trump-endorsed candidate. Mm-hmm. Trump-endorsed candidate Tony Weed. He really hit on that his entire campaign, even back from the Republican primary times. And he's kept it up. You know, when it taught, when he